The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Today's reading is from Epictetus's Discourses, Book 1, Chapter 6. And this is just a partial excerpt. So it says, "Yes, but my nose runs. For what purpose then, slave, do you have hands? Is it not that you may wipe your nose? Is it then consistent with reason that there should be running of noses in the world? Nay, how much better is it to wipe your nose than to find fault?" Okay, so this is one of those episodes that was prompted by an incident. So this happened a couple of Fridays ago at the tail end of a week-long extreme heat wave in Seattle. And this is just to give you context here. You know, Seattle, I guess historically, does not get very hot in the summer. And in fact, when we moved here in 2000, and I remember, you know, every summer there would be maybe like a handful of individual days, maybe one or two days here and there that it would be hot. And as a result, most of the houses, at least that were built, you know, up to a certain time period, don't have air conditioning. And my mom's house that she's renting also does not have air conditioning. So we had a good week. I think it was a week. It might've been a little bit longer of a heat wave where the temperatures got into the low to mid 90s. And it was pretty miserable. And it's not that the heat bothers me per se. It's that I cannot sleep in the heat. And so I had a good many consecutive nights during that time of 4 to 5 hours of sleep, and that began to wear on me. So this was at the end of the week, and it was a Friday. And once again, I had woken up at one of the wee hours of the morning. Can't remember at this point. It was a while ago now. Couldn't fall asleep. And so I did what I sometimes do when I wake up too early and can't fall asleep. After I davened and everything, I baked. I was making cookies for Shabbos. One of my recipes, my keto pistachio shortbread. I knocked over the almond extract and half the bottle spilled. And I let out a kind of like whiny, and I said this verbally, I said, "Oh no." And then I immediately just laughed at the absurdity of the thing. Now, just to give you the context here, I was already like overtired. And like, I think I had dropped a bunch of other things that day already, even though the day was still young. And then when I spilled the almond extract, then it was just like this childish, like, "Oh no." And then as soon as I realized like how dumb that was, I laughed. And then I mopped up the almond extract and put the cloth in the laundry area, and like that was it. And it was one of these. So I was thinking about it, and I thought about that Seneca quote. You know, like if you're sitting there and your nose is running, and you're like, "Oh no," well, I mean, look, there's two problems with that. Problem number one is you're not doing anything about it. So wipe your nose. Like that's why you have hands. So you can wipe your nose. You know, I mean, obviously we wouldn't wipe it on our hands, but you know, take a Kleenex or whatever and wipe your nose. And secondly, like this is something that happens, right? Noses run, liquid spill, you know, accidents happen. People are not coordinated when they're tired. So you're also complaining about the way of the world, right? So that's another mistake. And then the other mistake is the childishness of it. And again, that's the only word I use, because it was one of those things where, you know, most of the time when we get into a state where we're acting childishly, then we don't notice it in the moment. But this was such a small thing that I'm not saying this is virtual on my part. I was just able to realize how childish it was in the moment. And then once I realized that, I realized like there are so many other times where like something happens, and if I were to look at myself objectively, I would realize I'm reacting to something that is just a part of reality. in a childish way and making a bigger deal out of it than it is. And in reality, it's no different than the almond extract spilling. You know, like, yeah, there are things that happen that are objectively bad, but in the vast majority, of cases, we are over exaggerating it and then like feeling victimized by what happened in a way that is just like completely, completely unwarranted and uncalled for. Now I came up with this, the idea for this episode when this event happened, and I did not immediately have a, you know, I for those who have listened to this for a while, like I do like to compare and contrast this with a Jewish source on this. And so I wasn't able to immediately think of a source that had anything to do with this. And so I actually posted on one of my Facebook groups. I said, does anyone have a good corollary to the English idiom or the English proverb of, you know, there's no use crying over spilled milk. So two suggestions were given. The first one is the phrase "my dehava hava," which is an Aramaic phrase, which means that which happened happened, you know, that if it's in the past, it already happened. Now, the way that Chazal use it is, at least the way I've seen Chazal use it is in a different context, is in the context of the Pesach Seder and the four cups. So it doesn't really have to do with the way it's used, but it's a nice phrase. The other suggestion that was made is the Mishnah in Brachos, Perek Tes Mishnah Gimel, and this is a halacha about tefillah. Hatzoek l'she'avar, one who cries out in prayer over the past. Hare zo tefillah shav. This is a prayer in vain. Okay. Ketad. What would be an example? Haisa ishtum uberes. If a person's, if a man's wife is pregnant, the Amar, and he says, Yihi raton shetelet ishti zahar. May it be God's will that my wife give birth to a male. Hari zo tefillah shav. That is a tefillah in vain. And the reason why it's tefillah in vain, the Gemara goes into this, is because, you know, the gender at a certain point is already set. You know, you have to look into whatever modern science to determine when that is. So if you were praying for something about the future, you know, let's say your wife is not pregnant and you say, may my wife become pregnant with a male child. So then that's totally acceptable. But if she is already pregnant and she has, and the fetus has a gender, so then you can't pray for something to change that is already set. Okay. The other example the Mishnah gives, Hayabah baderech v'shama kol tzvacha ba'ir. If a person is traveling and he hears an outcry in the city, v'amar yihi raton shlo yihi elu b'nei besi, and he says, may be God's will that these not be the members of my household. Harizot tefillah shav. That is a tefillah in vain. So let's say modern example. Let's say like you're driving home and you hear a bunch, you hear fire sirens and fire trucks. You know, you pull to the side of the road and the fire trucks are zooming in the direction of your house, and you say, please God, let that not be my house. So that is a tefillah in vain because the house is already on fire, and either it is your house or it's not your house. Nothing is going to change it to make it retroactively not your house. If you pray for the future and say, God, may you protect my house from a fire in the future, so then you're allowed to do that. But if you're praying about the past, then you can't change the past. Now, it might seem to be, this is obviously a whole topic, and this gets into the questions of, what is tefillah? What are the limits of tefillah? I can't remember if I have given a shiur on this. I'll do a search, and if I have given a shiur on this that's recorded, I'll include the link in the show notes. If you want a really good essay on this, then there is an essay in Chakira magazine, which I will link. Sorry, I didn't mean to say Chakira magazine. I meant the Journal of Jewish Thought. This is an essay called Tefillat Shav, The Limits of Prayer as a Means to Understanding Its Transformative Nature, written by Ari Bleicher, Aleva Shalom, who was a fellow student in my yeshiva who died of a brain tumor and wrote this essay really about his own state, about how coming to grips with his own brain tumor, really helped him to learn about what tefillah is, what prayer is, and what you can and cannot pray for. So I highly recommend that essay if you want to go into depth on this. So, wow, what a segue. To go from that, praying about a terminal illness to spilling almond extract seems really petty. But, in truth, like the crying out about something that has already happened and cannot be undone, you know, it's equally childish, whether it is about a terminal illness or a spilled almond extract or, you know, or the gender of a baby. I mean, you know, in all of these cases, we, you know, to wish that things be different than the way that they are when they're already set is just magical thinking. And you know, the foundation of Stoicism is realizing what is in your control and what is not in your control, and realizing that if you attempt or hope to control what is not in your control, you're just going to be miserable. That certainly applies to the past, to things that have already happened. And the most you can do is to change things going forward. You know, be more careful when you're handling almond extract or something like that. And you know, if your goal is to avoid all accidents, to be the type of person who has no accidental mishaps whatsoever, that's also unrealistic, because the nature of accidents is that they happen. And so you can't be someone who's free from those mistakes. That's also a different kind of wishing for something to be what it really is not. So, which is definitely a big part of this, you know, this topic of Tevilah Shav. So anyway, that was what happened. That was the incident of the almond extract. And I just wanted to muse about that and to share the insights that came from it. That is it for today's episode. If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Rabbi Schneeweis. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is @Matt-Schneeweis, and my Zelle and PayPal are mattschneeweis@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor a day's or a week's worth of content, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweis@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.